Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Faith Community Baptist Church on this second Sunday of Easter. Easter is actually, several weeks long, so we can say Happy Easter. Doesn't that feel good? I mean, it should be. It's a beautiful day. It's good to be with you in this wonderful space for us to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. It makes us know that there is hope and that we have something to live for each and every day, so that we can celebrate the love that we've already know and received. Let us turn to our announcements real quickly. SPRC has a meeting tomorrow at 7, so if you're a part of that, make sure you have that on your calendar and be there. For those who didn't notice and see the tree seedlings out on the table there, those are available, so you can check those out on your way out, and you can take that with you. There is a couple of things coming up that are to help us with our care. For those who are caregivers, there is a Stephen Ministry Network program that's there to help you understand what it means to take care of yourself. But, those who are doing the caregiving, that is in your bulletin here. It's later today. So if that's something that you feel like you should be going to, take note of that. Also, there's a blood drive tomorrow. They have still slots available, so if you want to come on in and give blood tomorrow, you can do that. It's just here in our community center. And those who had interest in the Shawnee Student Mentoring Program, or those who are participating in it, we'd like to meet on May 6th to kind of talk over what we have experienced, and also looking ahead to next year, what that might look like. So if you are interested in being a mentor for the Shawnee Elementary students next year, come to that so you can kind of hear what we experienced already and give you an idea of what you might want to do in the next school year. I also wanted just to mention on a sad note, Ann Ledbetter passed away overnight or yesterday sometime. So I know many of you know Ann Ledbetter well. So keep her family in your prayers throughout the week. And if we know more, we'll try to get it out on our email on Wednesday. With that, let us prepare for our time of worship with our prelude.
morning. Would you please stand as you are able to join me in the call of worship as printed in the bulletin? In the rising of the morning sun, the Holy speaks.
You are my children, shine.
In the greening of the earth and blooming of creation, the Holy speaks.
You are my children, grow.
In the mountains reaching toward the sky, the Holy speaks. In the darkness of the winter days, the Holy speaks.
You are my children, trust.
In the presence of the skies that float above us and the assurance of the earth beneath us and with the calm of the Spirit within us, the Holy speaks.
You are my children, live.
Live and shine. Our opening hymn this morning is Shine, Jesus, Shine. It's in the bulletin and I think on the screens.
Jesus, shine, fill me with your glory. Glaze
seated. And if you would, join me in the opening prayer. It's printed in our bulletin. Let us pray. Creator God, you call us to take on the holiness you have planted within us. In our worship this day, open our eyes and hearts to your movement that longs to make a home in us. So be it. Amen. If the children can come up, I have a little children's moment.
Good morning.
Successful.
There you go.
Can you hear me now? Okay. I was not here last week at Easter. I was with my grandchildren in their church. And I was thinking about the songs that we sing. Now, it just wouldn't be Easter if we didn't sing Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. Did we sing that here?
I believe so.
I think we did, didn't we? We sang it at the church I was at. And it just would not be Christmas Eve if we did not sing Silent Night at the candlelight service. So songs are pretty important. And I was sitting next to my grandson, and we were looking at the program, and he's at the songs they were going to sing. And we were going to sing He Lives, which is one of his favorites and one of my favorites. It's on page 310, if anybody wants to look at that in the audience. And I like the words, He Lives. Actually, I like a lot of songs, as you can see. I have a lot of favorites. This is one of my favorite Easter songs. And the words are, He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. That's what Easter's about. We celebrate Christmas when he's born, and we celebrate Easter when he lives. And he walks with us, and he talks with us along life's narrow way. So you remember that. Jesus is walking with you and talking with you every day. Now you have to listen real hard sometimes because he doesn't always talk very clearly. But he lives salvation to impart, which means that he's our Savior. And you ask me how I know he lives? How do we know that Jesus lives? Because the Bible tells us. But he lives within our hearts. So he's always with us right here in our hearts. So if anybody asks you how you know that Jesus lives, he lives right here in our hearts. Okay? That's the Easter story. Okay, I have some trees. Pastor Jeff said I need to. But before we do that, I think we ought to have a prayer. Thank you, Lord, for living and walking with us and talking with us as we go through our lives. Bless these children and the families that they come from. And thank you for living in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Our prayer hymn today is Take Time to Be Holy, number 395. We're singing verses 1, 2, and 4.
Take time to be holy.
As we go into our time of prayer, I'm going to be using a prayer from this book called Praying in the Wesleyan Spirit. I actually used it a month or so ago by Paul Chilcote. He's a good friend of my wife and I, and his message and what he does is takes the sermons of Wesley and he turns them into a prayer. And there's 52 prayers, so there's 52 weeks in the year, so I've been using one for each week. This is the one for this week. And it goes along with the theme that we've been talking about, our holiness in Christ. We worship you, O God, because you are righteous and holy. We see your glory already in the face of Jesus Christ, our Lord. In his divinity, we see your eternal, essential, and unchanging holiness, your justice, mercy, and truth. In his humanity, we see not only his sinlessness and purity, but also his complete obedience to your will, his uncompromising life of compassion and self-emptying love. You offer the fullness of who he is to us as a gift, even though none of us deserves such a treasure. You forgive us and accept us wholly for the sake of what Christ has done for us. Whenever we truly come to ourselves and believe the good news of your love for us, it is as if we become like Christ in your eyes. In that moment, we know the absolute ecstasy and liberation of being forgiven and accepted by you. The wonders of your love for us do not stop there. Not only do you call us your own children in Christ, you also begin to make us truly gracious, compassionate, and loving through the power of the Spirit at work within us. The Spirit transforms and reshapes our lives to the very image of our Lord. We simply long to rest in Jesus, and that suffices. He became what we are in order for us to become what he himself is, the embodiment of your love. So clothe us with Christ, we pray. And transform the brokenness of our humanity into the holiness of your divine love. Amen. And let us share now the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And friends, as we have experienced the love of Christ, we are indeed changed from within. It allows us to be that compassionate person, to be able to see someone who we can share mercy with them. We also can understand what it means to be generous people, giving more of ourselves because we understand what has truly been given for us. Ushers, would you please wait upon us? join together in the prayer of dedication. God, from you comes every bounty, every sacrifice of life that sustains ours is the sacrifice of your blood. As we return a part of you have blessed us with, we pray that it will be used to forge stronger connections among all creation until the whole world is redeemed by your love. Amen. Please remain standing for the gospel reading.
The gospel reading today comes from the book of John 20, verses 19 through 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord, my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
Thank you.
This morning, you are going to be blessed by my lovely wife today. She is one of my spiritual guides, and I wouldn't want to keep her to myself. So I thought, I ask her often, you know, when you have a message, let me know. I'm more than happy to let you share. And she has a message this morning that she wants to share. And I'm actually going to have to get you the other microphone.
There's a word that whenever I see it, I, for some reason or another, just have a hard time understanding it. I've looked it up several times, and I've read it many times, and yet I still don't always get it. And it's kind of funny because the word itself, the meaning related to it, is fully embracing its meaning. The word is embody, or embodied. If you Google the meaning of embody, you will get this definition. To embody something means to give it a concrete or physical form, to make it visible or tangible, or to represent it in a specific way. It can also mean to fill a role or represent a quality or idea exactly, often through actions or behavior. For instance, an example of embodying teamwork means that we embrace and live out collaboration. We don't just say we're a team, but we actually act as a team, dividing tasks, but also actively supporting each other. And as we share our expertise, we also celebrate a collective achievement. That's what it means to embody teamwork. Embody includes not only our mind or our words, our thinking in a particular way, it also includes feelings and our actions. It means it engages with all of our being, body, mind, and spirit. I think this describes well what is going on in our scripture passage this morning. And it also presents us with a unique opportunity to consider, what does it mean to embody what we believe? To truly be changed by it. Most of the time we approach scripture, when Jeff or I are putting a message together, a sermon for Sunday, we usually try to make, you know, 3-4 points about a particular passage. This is a way for us to, you know, make it applicable to our lives. And in those terms, I came up with 4 points for today's text. These are the four. Jesus invites us to experience his peace. Jesus invites us to believe in who he is and not to doubt. Jesus invites us to receive healing and reconciliation to God. And Jesus invites us to share the good news with others. Let's briefly consider each one. Jesus invites us to experience his peace. Jesus specifically says, "Peace be with you," 3 times in this particular passage, section of John. He says it when he first appears to them. He says it once again after they've recognized him. And he says it again when he comes back 8 days later, a week later, when Thomas is now present. Next point. Jesus invites us to believe in who he is and not to doubt. By showing the disciples his hands and his side, he invites them to recognize that he is the resurrected Jesus. He offers even more to Thomas when he tells him to actually put his hands in his hand, his side, and to see his hands. He invites Thomas and us not to doubt what he's heard from the other disciples, but to also believe in him. In the final verses of the passage, John tells us the specific purpose of the book. That it is written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, we may have life in his name. That takes us to point number 3. Jesus invites us to receive healing and reconciliation to God. When we accept Jesus' invitation to believe in him, we are accepting his invitation to receive life in his name. Life in his name is the peace and forgiveness that Jesus offers. It's the belief that we are able to be healed and reconciled to God. Final point. Jesus invites us to share the good news with others. He declares to them that the Father has sent him, and now he is sending them with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that he breathes on them. He sets them up to see that they not only need to believe, but share it with others so that they will believe. This is how we typically write messages. It's great, right? Okay, we can go now. We've got our 4 points. We're ready. Let's just walk out the door. But application is not embodied believing. As I researched the word embody in Scripture, I found an article on ministrymatters.com, written by somebody else Jeff and I have met before. Don't apply Scripture, embody it. This is by Reverend Alan Bevere. He writes this: when Christians seek to apply the Bible, we treat it as only an instruction manual to be consulted on occasion when we need an answer to an important question. Scripture as a reference work. But Scripture, the Bible, is so much more than that. John clearly tells us that in the opening of the book of John. He tells us that the Word is Christ. In the beginning, the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And then John goes on to tell us in John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the embodiment of God. He is all of whom God is, and his presence in the world shows us who God is. This also means then that the Word is the embodiment of God. It is all of whom God is. It's so much more than just a manual for living. It is the living, breathing essence of God. Also, in the words of Alan Bevere, the Bible is unique and decisive revelation that bears witness to the unique, decisive, and central revelation of Jesus Christ. It is therefore critical that Jesus' followers seek to embody in their lives the biblical narrative. He also wrote, to embody something is to be changed by it to the very core of our being and to the very core of our faith community. To me, then, as followers of Christ, we need to take time today to embody this message, this passage, to experience it, to try not to just hear the words and try to apply it to our lives, but to feel it in our bodies, receive it in our minds, and breathe it to become what it commends of us. So I'm asking you to be willing to experiment with me today. I want to try and help us to fully experience this story, as if we were actually present in this room. There are moments as we journey through the story that I want you might want to write something down. So when you came in, or at least I know there's at least one sheet, like the Shine Jesus Shine piece that doesn't have anything on the back of it. You may want to take out a piece of pen or paper and pencil and be ready to write some thoughts down. Now, I journal a lot, and I always bring a book with me to church for me to journal in when I'm listening to the message. For some of us, that's really, really helpful. So for today, if that's helpful to you, use that piece of paper and write some feelings and thoughts down as we try to embody this passage. For some of you, it may just be easier just to be present in the moment. Maybe it's closing your eyes, but don't fall asleep. Maybe it's just trying to experience it, just to be in it. So whatever works for you, but I wanted you to at least be prepared to use that piece of paper and pencil if you need to. So let's start. Imagine yourself as one of the disciples in this story. You find yourself on the other side of Jesus' crucifixion. You've been a witness to his arrest. You've been a witness to his death. And as John tells us, you've been told by Mary Magdalene that Jesus has appeared to her and that he has spoken to her. Again, close your eyes if you need to in this moment. That this evening, the first day of the week, we are in a room with the doors are locked for fear of the Jews and what they have just done to Jesus. We are grieving the loss of our beloved friend our teacher, our study companion for the past 3 years. We are reeling from all of these events and maybe even wondering what role we played and what has happened to Jesus and maybe what we didn't do. Can you feel what the disciples are feeling? What are you feeling as you think about that? If you need to, write those thoughts, those feelings down on that piece of paper. Can you allow yourself to experience the terrifying, grief-stricken sadness, fear, and guilt of this moment? What about the bewilderment of hearing Mary say she just saw Jesus? Could it be? If you need to, tap into your own past experience with grief. Let it come. As I was reading this story earlier this week, I could feel their feelings as I thought about the recent experience of losing my mom. I could really feel what they might be feeling. I could relate to the fear of being alone without that guidance that I'd always had. The grief over the loss of my beloved mom. Guilt over not doing more or possibly ignoring early warning signs. I experienced all of the many thoughts that can intrude into our minds, especially when we're in the dark of night with nothing to keep the thoughts at bay. This is where we are with the disciples right now, in this hour, locked behind closed doors. And then Jesus comes and stands among us and says, "Peace be with you." Breathe that in for a minute. Peace be with you. These words bring light to a dark place of our soul. Peace, the overwhelming feeling that everything is going to be okay. Feel that peace. Rest in it. What thoughts come to mind as you experience it? If you want, take a moment and write it down. Jesus stands before us, showing us that though his hands and feet bear the scars of his death, his crucifixion, he still stands before us alive and fully present. This is unbelievable, isn't it? What do you feel now? What emotions are filled as we realize Jesus is alive and right here with us? Are you feeling hope? Hope for a future that was gone? Maybe you're experiencing love for the one before you? Are you feeling excited? Maybe there's anxiousness about what this might mean. Could it be a new desire in you to engage in life again? Oh, the many questions that must be spinning through our minds as we see Jesus standing before us. What's your experience? What do you think you are, what are you feeling as you think about this? And if you need to, write it down so you won't forget. Now return to that moment as the new wave of emotions hit you. That excitement, that anxiousness, that hope, that life, all of those feelings that may be before you as you see Jesus standing there. And Jesus says, once again, peace be with you. But this time I don't think the peace is like, peace, don't be afraid. I think it's more of a peace as a call to listen. Now think of the disciples, us in the room, all talking at once, being excited about Jesus being there, right? He's in front of us. What does this mean? And Jesus says, wait, peace be with you. Listen, I have something more to say to you. It's like he's inviting them to calm down and to get focused. He has something more to say. And it's time for us to really pay attention, to wake up and listen. And Jesus continues, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And as he says this, he breathes on them. Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. We are being given a call, our marching orders. We are being told what to do next, what action to take. He's inviting us, not telling us, to share the good news that our sins are forgiven, that Jesus is alive. We are able to be reconciled to God because in this moment, we are truly reconciled to Jesus as he breathes the Holy Spirit on us. Think about what that must be like to have the Holy Spirit breathed on you by Jesus. Do you feel the Spirit? Do you feel that rush of the Holy Presence among us? Receive that Holy Spirit. Believe and trust in it. Try to embody this moment to fully experience what the disciples experienced. What are you thinking? What are you feeling to be in this moment, in this room, in heart, mind, and soul? Can you feel the love of Christ in this moment? Can you experience his mercy and his grace? We aren't done. There's more to the story yet. Now we are the disciples and we are seeing Thomas and we're telling Thomas all about this. We don't know why Thomas has missed out on this encounter. The disciples you know, had been, the disciples had been present, share what they experienced with Jesus. They tell with Thomas, that, like, Thomas, what would we do? Think of it. You've missed out on this experience. And now all these disciples are telling you, hey, Jesus showed up in the room. He talked to us. We saw him. We could reach out and touch him. And Thomas says, I don't believe. Are you like Thomas? Are we questioning what we're hearing? This can't be true, can it? When was the last time you found yourself doubting or questioning the validity of someone's story? I found myself doing this not long ago, watching a TV show that was filled with all this praise music and everybody was singing, and I thought, yeah, do they really feel the way that they're experiencing showing this? I don't know why I doubted it. But how many times do we come across people and doubt the sincerity of what they're telling us? So if you're Thomas and they're telling you this, what emotions are you experiencing now? Is there still fear, grief, guilt, sadness, a hint of hope? Maybe defiance or stubbornness. Well, I'm not going to believe that. I didn't see it. Thomas refuses to believe, and he tells them so. Now we're in that room again. I skipped a part. You're talking to Thomas. What are your feelings and emotions regarding this conversation with Thomas? Are you annoyed at him that he doesn't believe you? Frustrated by his unbelief? By his stubbornness? Maybe you're sad that he missed it and that he won't believe you. Maybe his unbelief is even creating doubts in your mind. And now we come to the last part of this story. We find ourselves back in that room with the doors closed, they're locked again. And Thomas is with us this time. Are you going to, you can think about this either from Thomas's viewpoint or from the disciples' viewpoint. But if you're Thomas, Jesus is suddenly present in the room once again and says the very first thing, peace be with you. If you are one of the disciples and you're experiencing this again, how have your feelings varied this time? Are they different from the last time you heard him say, peace be with you? Is it a reminder of what you experienced before? Because how many times do we have to be reminded of things, honestly? Do we easily forget what Jesus has done for us before? We need those reminders. To me, this is what's happening to the disciples. They're being reminded again. And if you're Thomas, what are you feeling? Are your eyes deceiving you? Is this really Jesus before you? Now Jesus is offering to you to place your finger in his nail-scarred hand and place your hand in his side. What's your response? Do you flinch? Do you reach out? Do you exclaim as Thomas did, my Lord and my God? Do you believe what you are experiencing, what you're seeing? And Jesus then says, have you believed because you have seen? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. This is Jesus' invitation for us to believe. We may not have been there in the flesh, but in this time together now, we've tried to embody these words as we allowed ourselves to experience this story more fully, to put ourselves in it. As we tried to take the time to experience the thoughts, feelings, and emotions of the disciples through the story we've read in the Bible, we've encountered the Word of God, Jesus. As we've embodied the written word in this way, we come to believe that Jesus truly is the Messiah, the Son of God, and we are able to believe without seeing, yet we have seen. Can you leave this room now without being changed? If you're in that room with the disciples, can you leave that room without being changed? Can we see that as God has made his word come alive to us, that we are not the same? We are so loved. Can you feel that love? As all those emotions are flying around and he says, peace be with you. This story not only helps us to believe, but believe it in a more embodied way. But it's also a call to us. It gives our lives life and purpose. We are now witnesses. And as such, we are sent out to embody what we believe, what we have experienced, and to share it with everyone we meet. To remember that we are the children of God who are in Christ, and that Christ is in us. By that Holy Spirit that he breathes on us. And we are invited to share it with others, to help them experience this love as well. This is embodied believing. Amen.
Our closing hymn this morning is We Know That Christ Is Raised. It's number 610 in the hymnal and on the screens.
Thank you.
is part of the prayer that Jeff prayed out of Paul Wesley's book, Paul Chilcote's book.
His middle name is Wesley.
Yeah, he is Paul Wesley Chilcote. Anyways, Jesus became what we are in order for us to become what he himself is, the embodiment of God's love. Lord, close us with Christ, we pray, and transform the brokenness of her humanity in the holiness of your divine love. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Go in peace.